Are you insane?
They are insane!
You're in the hands of an adolescent.
It is a cellular peptide cake.
But Red Frosting.
It does like you.
Mr. Kip, 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 Kip.
I like Christopher on your own.
I don't like
him. Here's my
books. All right, there we go.
Oh.
Kim is drinking rum, it looks like.
Yeah. Romulan ale.
Romulan ale.
Or milk.
Or milk.
Or milk. It's hard to tell. We are live right now.
Ooh.
As we speak. And welcome. Welcome one and all. Look, there's not even very much of a preamble this time because we were talking beforehand. We like to kind of peel back the layer of professionality we have around this podcast and show you a little bit behind the scenes.
So professional.
Very thin layer.
Very. There may be more foolery than actual layer. But you have come to the I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek podcast, an occasional webcast here. I'm Mike McCafferty.
I'm Kim Miller.
And I'm Jason McCarris.
And we are here today because we need to tell you about episode 3 of Star Trek Discovery. We need to inform you. We need to alert you. We need to warn you, perhaps.
I was going to focus on the word need there. Do we really need to?
No, we don't need to do anything. But this is, I mean, it's low-hanging fruit. We could, like, pick an episode out of the 700 and, like, watch it and then talk about it. Or this is, like, being thrown at us topically and we can watch and talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you haven't been to our Facebook page, or I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek Facebook page, you got to check that out because we're right now streaming live. Hopefully,
you
anyone
could be
who's
watching there, this take place, what you're listening to right now,
you could be watching live and responding. Now, Jason, you're gonna be checking out the Facebook page.
Oh, I am. Okay, I didn't realize that. I thought I was just verifying that we had a page and that there was a link.
Well, someone writes down a comment that we need to see that. We need to talk about these things.
Good.
I wonder if it'd be easier if I just did like a live stream off their little Facebook app on the phone. I don't know.
Yeah. Who needs that?
Who needs some ease? All right. So
we're looking up Mike's nose and down at Jason. This is what you miss by a video.
I'd like you all. I want to. It's sort of an imperious look because I want you all to call me mother from now on. Right? You will call me mother. Not paying attention to the fact that I cut off the head of my child. All good. All good, everyone.
Oh, she didn't say she did.
She did. That's what she implied, right?
No. Yeah.
Oh,
this
not
is
the baby.
Why I take notes.
Yeah, no. That she didn't. You're right. The baby was supposedly.
Who cares? She's got the dead head of a baby in her hand. Ostensibly, I mean, like that's at that point in time.
Replicated head.
Well, I mean, although no one fell for that in the audience, except for all the Klingons. Like, oh, All right. So now, if you haven't guessed. And you should guess, we are talking about episode 3 of Star Trek Discovery Season 2, called Kim.
Point of Light,
Point of Plot.
or as I thought of it, my favorite episode of The Masked Singer, when Giorgio comes on board and takes off that stupid helmet thing.
Oh, yes. Boy, we're so far away from even getting to Giorgio. I mean, there are so many things to unpack in this episode. All right, so let's round table it really quickly. Jason, thoughts overall?
I was kind of delighted by how terrible it was. It's just got so many different stories going at once. It's just a big, giant mess. And I found myself really enjoying, in the wrong sense, the big Klingon fight and everything. And we'll get to it, but I was not a huge fan of this episode, except for comedy purposes. Hey, I like the last one a lot.
Also,
Warm on Star Trek.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So, because you weren't, were you podcasting with us last time, Jason? You were.
Yes, last one I was. Yeah.
The first one you were.
No, I was not. Yes, the first one. Yeah.
Kim, what did you think about this one? Tell me you loved it.
I did not love it. It's like kind of a flashback to season one and all the things that kind of bothered us during it. It's also
all
felt like
in
a
the
lot
span
of
like 30 minutes.
Also seemed like a lot of, okay, here's what we got to fix with the fans. Let's just throw this bit in. Okay, there, you happy now? Okay. Another thing later, is that good now? Here. All right. So we will go over these. Because this week I actually took notes.
Very extensive notes.
Yes, so
this is going
to be
an hour and a 45-minute podcast.
No. We have to have a time frame.
We can condense it. I actually took notes by scene. There's only 19 scenes. We can get through this, Doctor. We'll get through it.
Well, I have a say in this too. So
no say.
Here's my. I was telling Jason about this before we logged on. Here's my take on it. You know, like I almost felt like Star Trek Discovery is like either an opioid addict or like someone who binges on food all the time. And like season two, you're trying really hard to be good. Like, I'm going to be super good. I'm going to tell like episodics. It's going to be, you know, what? Oh, what's that cake? Oh, look at that cake over there. Oh, it's a Klingon cake. And oh my God. Oh, there's a Tilly cupcake over there. Oh, I can't help myself. Oh, And they just binged on it. They just binged all these bad story ideas they had from the first season. And now they feel terrible. I hope they feel terrible and they've got all their system.
Tilly Cupcake has a lot of caffeine in it.
Oh. Maybe we should just all like pick like one storyline that we all hate and then just like. Although I tell you, I do run. On occasion, I do run, and I really wish I had a mycelial network in my body to have to run faster to win a half marathon, right?
Yeah.
Because she was in it right until the end, and then she turned on the juice. I mean,
oh yeah.
Anyway, let's start off where we start. There's a lot of problems in this one, but it's so deliciously over the top telenovela nonsense that we're gonna have fun today. This is gonna be a fun podcast, everyone. Yeah. If you have a comment, leave it on the Facebook page.
Not YouTube, because we'll never see it in time.
Right. I know. Graham Champ tried to do that and he's upset, so I can't blame him. All right, so we start off this episode where one of you.
Personal log.
Kim, are you eating right now?
She is, of course.
You were on a roll. I thought I had to. What?
Do you only eat when we podcast? It seems like every time. Why is
she so hungry? Because she only eats when we do the podcast once a week.
She's like, please, more podcast, Mike.
I was right, rushing. Jake. That's why. So it's like, oh, I haven't eaten. That's the one thing I didn't do.
Right. So as Kim pointed out, personal log from Burnham. She's looking at the space map and watching. She's looking at the red dots.
Right.
From the red angel.
And trying to figure out more about Spock's kind of deal.
Spock saw that she can't figure out.
Right. And then they jump right into she walks down the hallway, they run into the marathoners, the half marathoners.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the half marathon going on.
Right. And Tilly is still seeing May, in quotes. Mm-hmm.
Now, first of all, I have questions about like this half marathon where they turn on and off the lights as you're running. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
It's like when you're in a supermarket and those lights go on and you go past the frozen food section and they turn on. You're like, oh, Jesus. Oh, all right. Maybe we should be running past them.
It's the opposite of motion sensitive, though. It's like as you're walking down, they turn off.
What, the refrigerator ones?
On the ship.
Yeah, I noticed that. Like
she's walking down the hallway and they go off, right? I mean,
as they run by,
gets your attention.
I don't know what's going on in that scene. I don't know.
Part of the
like,
training program.
Who holds the Discovery half marathon, like, hey guys, put it on the holodeck, do it on a treadmill, but
I don't know if you noticed, there was one girl in a white shirt, everybody else is dressed in blue, the one girl in the white shirt looked way too happy to be running a half marathon and finishing at that point. This big smile on her face and running.
I have run a half marathon, I have done this, and I can show pictures where I'm not happy at the end.
You've run a Star Trek half marathon, have you not? Or was it like a 5K?
5K.
That was like a 5K. No, I've done the space platform and the 4K.
The 4K. I watched it on TV. That's the extent of my marathon running.
I did the 1080p marathon and I trained with the 720 and then I went to 1080. So did very well.
You love the metric system. I get it.
That marathon, I don't understand how that marathon was run. It's just these four people running down these dark hallways. After, because it's like an hour and a half to run a half marathon, like, you know, if you're running a 10-minute mile. So after an hour and a half, they're all deadlocked. It's like the four of them just like running together. I mean.
Yeah.
And apparently Burnham has been training Tilly as well. They kind of dropped that little. I think that was mostly because of the conversation they have later in the episode, so they can, you know, they've been bonding as they have previously, and
yes,
have this moment.
That actress that plays Tilly, Mary Wiseman.
Yeah,
I didn't notice until this week that she apparently had that mole removed from her forehead. She had
big
mole over her right eye.
Oh man, I didn't.
Like, she looks different. What is it? And I went back and looked in season one. I'm like, yep, it's gone now.
Oh wow. Okay. Well, good, I guess.
maybe we can have Tilly removed. And
that is not off the table. I will tell you this right now. There are many things that
she's going to be the captain, obviously, if they don't fire her after she yelled at Captain Pike this week. Told him to shut up.
I just don't know about that. I don't know.
At the end of seven seasons, she will be a captain.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I know they said that she was mycelially enhanced to win that race.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, she wins the race, really? Yeah. If you finish a half marathon, good on you.
Yeah.
As I was crossing the finish line, my knees had like seized up and I was like walking on like chopsticks or something. It was just like tick, 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 tick. You know, I mean, like I was in so much pain. So I guess
you're my wife who finishes and is like, hey, let's have a beer.
You know? Your wife.
She's a mushroom.
She is a mushroom.
That's probably the whole problem is it's the mycelia network running through her.
Did they say that it was the network that made her finish?
I made you go faster. No, first of all, where is May from? As far as an accent, can we identify that? Is she from
we don't know.
Betazoid, like, you know,
weirdest.
This is going to be a 2-hour podcast.
Yeah, it is. We're just in the first scene still.
All right. So
Bridge.
So she's Bridge. All right. So we're going to Bridge.
Bridge.
There's a yellow alert.
Yellow alert. A rare yellow alert.
Yes. Oh, whoa. Got anything on scans? Oh, whoa.
Yeah. Oh, whoa.
I kind of like that, actually.
Oh, that's the African-American girl, right?
Yeah. Wesh.
Oh, whoa.
No, I like to think they originally cast David Oyelowo and then decided, you know, he wasn't going to work out, and so they just named the character after him.
How would you like to think?
I do.
Do you think Anson Mount just could not figure out her name? She's like, oh.
Like, you
know, like, kinda like, yeah, maybe.
Whoa.
Oh, like when you see someone, like their name is Chris or Christy or Kristen, and like, you know, you're like, hey, Chris. You're like, yeah. No. Do that all the time.
Reveal about yourself.
Reveal yourself.
Sarek ship. Sarek ship.
Oh, Sarek ship.
Sarek ship. Oh my God. One of the most infuriating things in this episode is the camera whipping around constantly. Oh, that
I don't know what you're talking about, Kim.
Freaking lens flares. I'm like, what is this? The first reboot Star Trek is so maddening.
It is.
It was terrible. The director, for whatever reason, decided to invert the camera. Like, I'll tell another story about the Invisible Man, because we've been watching Invisible Man with my son. I know. But we had this cool camera that could get all the way down the ground because it had a little mirror on it. And like, they were like, oh yeah, we got this cool camera. It's got this little mirror on it, so you can actually get right down to the ground. And so the next three episodes, everything started on the very ground. We were doing feet, someone dropped a pencil, like everything was always on the ground. Like, this is so cool. So they must have gotten like, we got this cool flippy camera thing.
Well, you'll notice in the other scene too with Amanda and Burnham that it starts really up high from like a corner at a weird angle, and then of course at the end with Laurel, it's upside down and comes right side up, the camera.
Mm.
They're just getting real fancy and interesting with it this time.
I guess
not frakes this week. No frakes this week.
Two takes frakes, man. Just get the action. That's all we need. This is not
we
art.
We know it's space. We know she's hallucinating. We know it's weird.
This is not art.
This is outer space.
This
no
is
art
science.
Space.
It's not art.
It is. It's supposed to be science. Yeah. All right. So they suppose that Sarek is on the ship, and then Burnham goes to go pick him up. And of course, it's not him, but Amanda.
Oh, as the camera sweeps through her as she's beaming and materializing, like, Jesus! Flips back around.
You just saw my lungs. I mean, you know, it's, do we need that? I mean,
please don't react. Spock needs our help.
React to who? Like the guy
who's
beaming him in?
What?
Bob! Oh, no! That I would like. Ghost. Ghost. Well, there's enough ghosts on this show. If she was a ghost, I'd be like, sure, why not? You know,
mycelial fungus ghost.
Don't react. I'm a ghost. That would be a teaser. We've already seen a ghost, so.
But credits, 15 executive producers again, two of which wrote and directed this episode.
Oh, well, there you go. They're the camera movers.
Yeah.
But then we,
so then we get to the Klingons.
Kronos.
Oh, Kronos. No.
And now it
apparently
begins.
The High Council is on the edge of a cliff in a volcanic cavern.
And they're looking at the D7.
Yes.
The D7.
You know, I mean, Kronos has more and more become like vampire planet. It like they're such vampires now.
It looks like that planet where Darth Vader has the castle, where he's being reconstituted with the lava.
Jason. Yeah.
Star Wars.
Whoa, Jason! No Star Wars. No, you're right about that. It is just, but Laurel is there and decides to speak in common, or like, what is it, universal tongue or whatever it is.
Right. So they don't have to do more subtitling and Klingon.
Yes,
the very for the first actors to learn.
Yeah, and just so we don't have to read. Right. But yeah, she's unveiling that, and it's going to be this is how they're uniting the families, the houses together. It's all going to be great. And then, but there is turmoil within the families.
Well, because Ash Tyler is there and he looks like Khal Drogo now.
Oh God!
This little ponytail. Yeah,
he's like a barista at a non-Starbucks coffee shop.
An independent coffee shop. But
why Starbucks have something against top knots? I don't understand.
No, I do a lot of writing, a lot of different Starbucks, and they're all super cool. But like, this is a guy who's like, man, I just want responsibly sourced like coffee, and Starbucks has a lot of issues to it. If you really look deep. You look deep. Like, let me just put my hair up in a bun here for a second. Let me just go ahead and show you some things.
You got to get out of the corporate mentality, man.
I know. Yeah, he is definitely trying to take the Klingons out of the corporate mentality. He's trying to go, you know, all natural.
But we need Kolsha. Old guy.
Cold shot.
Cold shot.
Cold shot brew.
Waiting for cold shot.
Cold shot.
It doesn't matter. He's dead.
He's the face paint guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Remove the paint. Yeah. That sounded so silly.
Oh, but the payoff is so great. I can't wait till we get to that part.
That payoff is so, oh my God. So I will put on face paint that will have super nanoparticle listening devices in the hope that the barista will pull it off and then I can listen through his fingertips. Unless he's wearing gloves.
Great.
Oh, God.
Oh, great.
And then it's all, Laurel, I love you very much, but we were babies, blah, blah, blah. Oh, damn it. He's wearing really thick gloves. Isotoner. Oh.
Not isotoner. Oh, you see the Klingons with hair that everyone's been complaining about.
Yes,
not because they're starting to look a little more.
Everyone's been complaining
like what
about
we expect.
Klingons with hair.
Everyone.
They were all upset. A lot of the traditionalists. Now, first of all, I mean, like people who are complaining about Klingons having hair. I mean, right now these Klingons should look like dudes. They should look like dudes with beards. That should be it. And like, kind of like copper skin. That's our generation of Klingons.
Okay, I was like,
the original series. Yeah. I mean. And Enterprise explained why they're changing over. But these guys are all crazy giant vampire heads. And they shaved their hair because they're in battle, even though when we see them at the first moment, they're not in battle. So, you know.
I thought it was going to have something to do with the baby. The headless baby was going to have something to do with getting off the monk planet now or whatever. And you know, starting to populate the Earth with half-breed Klingon babies. But. I guess Ash Tyler was never really part of this equation.
It still could be. I mean, that baby was just the biggest drop you've ever seen. I mean, I know we're going to get to that, but I was like, oh my God, you guys. It was taken out of my body so that it could gestate by itself. Like, wait, what are you doing? Stop, Discovery. Stop.
Ex utero.
All right. So they have their. Okay. So what happened? What's the next scene? What scene?
Burnham and Amanda. Mm-hmm. Where they're talking about the medical files that Amanda stole. Yeah.
Yep. They wouldn't let me then see, wouldn't let her see Spock at this mental facility that right. he's on. But somehow she was able to steal all his medical files, but they're encrypted. Wants Bernie to decrypt.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't.
And we come to like the third week in a row. I mean, I know we're getting to this, but with the medical records that Captain Pike breaks the rules, third week yeah. in a row, where it's like, eh, all right, let's do it. I got to look out for my guy.
And this and it's becoming more and more like suspect. I mean, like we'll talk about May and her, he's an imposter kind of line, but like him breaking the rules for this one really seemed like a bigger stretch.
Yeah.
It was just, I don't understand. I mean, first of all, she stole something. Would you please decrypt it? He's killed three people, but I know he didn't and blah, blah, right. blah. I'm like, oh lady, man. And Spock is just being overburdened with all these backstory that yeah. is just so
more and more baggage.
Yes. I mean, oh, he saw the Red Angel when he was a kid. I don't care about that. No, he didn't. You didn't see that. Stop that.
Burn and said something horrible to him and destroyed their relationship.
Which we won't say in this episode. No way, man.
He drew it a million different ways, apparently. So mm-hmm. he must have seen something.
Spock was always this kind of like pinnacle of logic in the show.
Right.
Yeah. In the original series.
But not a logic extremist.
No, not a logic extremist. We got those bozos back again. Yeah. Kill everyone that's not logical.
Which makes the most sense.
Wait, that's not logical. Kill him.
Kill him. No. Kill me. Oh, they're all dead. It's fine. Well, that's my classic extremist movie. Came and went real quick. They just all killed themselves. Like, we are not logical.
Oh, well, they needed right. some reason for Burnham to like split off and betray Spock and get off the planet. And the most logical thing would be logic extremists.
Yeah, they had to would smuggle her off or something. Is that what it was?
No, she escaped because they tried to bomb where she was or something.
Yeah, the learning center.
Right, the learning center.
At the learning center.
Whoever named SATs that there. Also named the D7 ship.
Yeah, I know. Where's D1 through 6? Don't worry about that.
Silence.
Silence. Logic extremist. Kill him.
She went to the learning annex, and that's where they tried to destroy her.
I know. I just feel like they're all like kind of like teaching each other how to take SAT tests or something yeah. at the learning center.
Exactly.
Okay. So.
Kronos.
Kronos. So now we're back to Kronos.
Yeah, we're back to Kronos.
Dracula's castle, which is apparently is where Laurel lives with dry hot ice coffee. Fog dropping from her ceiling.
Oh. How is that place comfortable? I mean, like, what's the deal with Klingons? Like, I have more fire here and more smoke. Come on, man.
What? No, more. More.
Makes us strong.
Meat in the corner. Makes us strong. that's her home, apparently, her house.
Yes. I mean, it like at least like in the Next Generation, they had like these houses, like literally like the houses had houses. And they kind of looked like sort of like kind of Japanese pagoda kind of things. You know, they had that kind of, you know.
She's leaving now that she heard that.
Oh, Kim, no, I didn't mean that.
He talked about Japanese people and she left.
I'm right here.
We're going to start talking respect. About the Three Stooges next.
Hello.
Oh, too
late. Come on. Fresh fish.
Fresh fish.
Fresh fish. All right.
Spread out. Oh, I got it in.
Damn it. All right, so what was the point of this scene? So they're in there.
The whole point was that Ash recoiled kind of from her because he doesn't remember enough about Vok that he's comfortable in that situation, and that kind of destroyed her.
Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about seeing Laurel again after a year-long break almost?
Oh, boy, did I miss her.
I'll do my Laurel impression for you, okay?
Yeah.
This is going to be good.
I know, eh? Is this purely for the cameras?
She's coming back.
For those listening, Kim popped up on screen with marshmallows in her mouth. Is that what it is? What is that?
Oh, paper towels, you infidel. Sounds like she's talking like this. Oh my God.
I stand corrected. I also noticed she kind of looked like the woman from The Dark Crystal. You know, the kind of witch lady with kind of crumpled up. Like her outfit looked like it. I was like, that's the woman from The Dark Crystal.
What's going on with her neck? Man, her face is super smooth now, but her neck.
Yeah. What happened to the big scar on the side of her face? I guess she got that fixed.
Because they showed it in the previous Leon at the beginning of the episode. I did not notice the removed mole or the removed scar.
We can remove the scar, but we have to put it all over your neck. All right. It's going to wrap around like a big old spider web. I'm so sorry about that. Josh Stewart. My boyfriend's coming over. I gotta tell him about the baby.
Josh Stewart. We're going to be fine. He tries to wash the paint off his hands.
Yes, yes. Several times.
Kind of very Hamlet kind of.
Yeah, I was thinking, are we gonna have a Lady Macbeth kind of theme here? This might be interesting. But nah. My hopes up.
Lady McNanobot.
Yes. Oh, God.
All right. So for that one, 70s gown and Ash and his Cyrano cape. I'm like, what is that? And her hair is all smooth and nice with braids in it. I'm like, what's happening here?
Like queer eye for the Klingon guy. Is that right? I don't know what I'm saying. All right, so let's get rid of that scene. That scene is not even...
Well, her family would accept him. That's like the big important thing, right? As the torchbearer. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, that he doesn't want her to speak English to him, and if others are to accept him as the torchbearer, then she needs to treat him like one, and then it turns into the soap opera of I want me back. Want me.
Just going to take me a little time.
But I said that whenever you touch me, it feels like violation. I'm like, huh?
Me too.
Right. I've suddenly flashed back to the first season. I just can't. I'm sorry. Just give me some time.
She wants him. He says no. Pike's ready room. Amanda.
Right. We've kind of already talked a little bit about that where they're.
Oh yeah,
he gets the med files, but more importantly, he still uses FaceTime, which is now a grandma. Yes, I like that.
Yeah, I know.
Only grandmas use it.
or the what is it, abuelita? Is that what he said? You know, it's like, hey, Christopher, my abuelita, she did that. You're like, oh, all right, man.
Vela.
What did he call it?
Captain Vela is his name.
Captain Vela. Yeah. Vela. All right.
So Spock has killed three doctors. Break the rules again.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't quite understand. Again, this is such a weird thing. He could just like Starfleet Command. I don't know. There's a lot of hurdles that are placed in front of this episode, which don't need to be there, and nothing really comes of it.
Right.
You know, someone was saying, don't ever talk about someone unless they're in the room if you're writing. And I'm like, we're all just talking about Spock for three episodes now. We have not seen him.
I'm kind of shocked. I was thinking as I watched the episode, I'm kind of shocked they used him in the promo material, like the trailers and stuff, because it would have been a little more of a surprise, at least, to have him show up. Because at this point, it's like, are we ever going to see him? I guess we are, because he's in the trailer. But that was kind of stupid to put him in there.
And get people excited. Like, ooh, we're going to see Spock this year.
Eventually, I mean, like after, you know, five or ten episodes, I guess.
Could have mentioned him by name and not shown him.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I agree with Kim that it is one of those things where, you know, it's like a trailer. You're going to see all the good stuff and then suffer through all the boring stuff when the real show comes out. So, but anyway, so they instruct Burnham to crack the code, which she does really quickly. I'm always, you know, just like, yep, there it is, cracked. Okay, not even a problem. So they have to get Spock. They still have to get Spock.
Yeah.
Because now he's wanted for murder.
Yes, that's right.
Right.
But Amanda apparently has held back her affection from Spock as a child, so not to confuse him. Mm-hmm. Shower all her love on Bernie, on Michael.
All the joy and affection to Burnham.
No, no, no. This is all wrong. I will tell you this right now. Amanda loved Spock. she loved him in the TV show and in the movies. This is not an issue. I mean, no, she always went to
spot. She didn't love him. She just that she didn't
she show,
show him
that
love.
Affection.
But why are we shading it now? So it's like these weird revisionist history stuff of like, oh, I showed Spock some love, but I showed you all the love, and you know, it's just we're burdening Spock. Now, Kim, you said you don't talk about characters off stage. Like on theater, you do talk about them off stage because that's you only have one location. But we are burdening him with all of these things now that he's going to have to show up with that we don't care about. Anyway,
he saw this red angel as a boy.
Yes.
Well, the world's slowest file transfer is happening in the background. Oh, she gets a phone call from Ash.
It's like USB 1.0.
Even I would transfer faster than that. Yeah. I think our computer. I was thinking, wouldn't it be funny if Ash had a funny ringtone when he calls?
What would the song Immortal. Be?
Oh, I gotta get that. I'm sorry.
Oh, God, that's Starfleet Command. I gotta get really?
That Auga sound effect. From that.
Better be just be Chumbawamba or something. I'd get knocked down.
Well, then we get this sort of West Side Story kind of scene here.
Yes.
Where they're kind of dreamily talking to each other, you know, two worlds, two loves, you know, two worlds, one love.
Where if you notice more interesting camera shenanigans too, because they're in hologram together, but then by the end of the scene, it's a split between them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Without the holograms and back and forth as though they're there together.
It's fine, but it is such a, again, it is just, hey, nothing. I just wanted to, you know, your hair looks nice. I mean, like,
this is when we do one of the first, let's fix last season moments with, I hear the post-war Klingons are growing their hair again. They should both look at the camera.
Is that what you guys want?
Well, since Ash is quote unquote dead now, I mean, are they setting up that he and Burnham are going to get back together?
I hope not. I
keep jumping to the end, Jason.
No, I mean, we've already discussed it at the beginning of the pod.
This is true. I hope not. I mean, I know that everyone in the writer's room is very excited about this, and they're like, oh man, everyone wants to find out what happens to Ash and Burnham. No. We don't. We're good. We are super good.
Which brings us to shadow exercises on the bridge.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing, fool?
The wife is calling, so I just need to. She's calling from Houston. And I just need to know if it's emergency or not.
Your 3D projection is going to appear behind you.
Pick me up at the airport. Oh God.
So the shadow exercises are happening on the bridge. Of course, May, quote unquote, appears again and drives Tilly nuts. Pike makes a joke about maybe we should just marry folks even if they're not that into each other, which I thought was pretty funny. And so May's looking for a captain who is shorter and blonder and much more whiter.
As soon as she said that, I knew who she's talking about.
Yeah, exactly. I did too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was hoping it was going to be Kirk. I was like, ooh, she's talking about Kirk, please?
I thought that as well. I thought that as well for a second. Well, and I realized, shorter, whiter Stamets.
Yeah, whiter kind of gave it. I'm like, Kirk's not
you
that
shorter. Why'd you think of Kirk?
Well, because she's saying another he's captain. Not the real captain. He's an imposter. Yeah. I'm looking for the – I'm like, either there's some sort of –
I think Mike was like, yes, they're all imposters. Bring Kirk back.
We still have Shatner. There's still a chance. Use CGI. Just age him down. It'll be perfect. Like Michael Douglas in Ant-Man. It'll be great.
It would be really fun to see that. I don't know if you'd ever want to do it. But
I don't know. Maybe if he's good, like if Quentin Tarantino's movie, you know, ever.
Oh, yeah. Interesting thought.
I mean, like Samuel Jackson's going to be, you know, like 30 years younger. In
Scorsese's?
No, in Miss Marvel or Captain Marvel.
Oh, right. Yeah, he's been de-aged. Yeah, that's the big thing. Yeah, the Scorsese movie, everybody's kind of anticipating that a lot because I think that's the majority of the movie. They're all de-aged.
What movie is this?
The Irishman, which is going to be a Netflix film.
Oh, I haven't heard about that.
Oh, yeah, it's been filming for over a year. But it's De Niro and Al Pacino and a bunch of the guys, you know, old great actors who are like being de-aged now for this movie. So we'll see if it works.
I kind of don't like it. I mean, there's something. I mean, there's something false about it. Like maybe for a flashback, I guess, for like a little bit of time. But right. If you're doing like a whole movie with that, I mean, we know what they look like.
Makes me think of that movie that Stallone and De Niro did together, where they de-aged them at the beginning for like file footage kind of stuff, and they looked awful.
Wild
that was
Hogs.
Before the technology had got better.
Well, Wild Hogs, is that what you said?
Yeah, Wild Hogs.
Remember that? And Wild Hogs.
No, I'm blanking on the name of it. It was kind of like, you know, Rocky versus Raging Bull.
Well, we'll come back to on about de-aging. Now's my chance.
It was called Grudge Match.
So, Kim, where are we next?
It was called Grudge Match.
All right, so where are we? So, first of all, Tilly sees Ghost, and she tells no one.
Right.
Yeah.
She's been seeing her, like, on a long, and then she does. You got to say something. If you see something, you say something. You know, I mean, this is not.
Well, she does, eventually, but she probably took too long.
Well, she's too scared of getting kicked out of the program and all that.
But like in an environment where like all sorts of things like this happen, where it's basically like a crazy fun house. I mean, there is always the possibility that it could be something. I mean, she has to like she basically
confines. There's a ghost behind you.
Yeah, I'm seeing ghosts too.
Who was it? Was it Chrissy? I didn't even look. I was making my
My wife made a cameo appearance for a moment.
Oh, all right, okay. Anyway, so she sees the ghost. She makes a bad impression, and then she runs off. And then where do we go?
Linus, the sneezing alien, has the loudest blink.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I noticed him back. Well, and I forgot to mention with the shadow exercises scene, Mike's favorite character,
Ariam,
made a pretty big appearance. Mm-hmm.
Ariam, I think is her name.
But there's another one right behind him.
Oh, Low Gravity Head.
Yeah, Low Gravity Head. That's what I'm talking about.
Low Gravity Head has a friend.
Yeah.
Or maybe Spawn.
I was really convinced
that was a different alien.
That there was like a ghost person talking to Tilly, and that was the ghost person talking to the big alien. Hey, look over there.
Are you seeing what I'm seeing?
Maybe he has a mycelial fungus.
That I'd be okay with too.
It would be more interesting.
Yeah, just seeing those two goofballs in the background. Like, I want to know everything about those guys.
Yeah, Mike wants a whole show with those guys, which I'm on board for. Or episode, at least.
I mean, aren't they the most interesting? They have these gigantic heads. They rarely ever talk. They made a little like... sound this time, I thought, didn't they?
I don't think they made any noise.
All right. I didn't hear Ariam's sound. Did you hear her little robot sound
not
this time?
As much.
There was no close-up of her this week, was there?
No, well, there was. She had a line or two.
She did have a line or two, and they didn't be like, here they come. You know, I mean, there was.
How ridiculous it was.
Yeah, I think they. So they're making the final edit this week. It's like, hey, can we do one more audio pass? I got one little note here. Okay, so I have 13 Ariam cues. Well, can we take out like all of them? Just a real quick. No, they're not working. Okay, I mean, we get it. She's a robot. We don't need the audio cues. All right, I mean. All right. So what happens after this bridge scene here?
The big reveal. They're at Ash catches Laurel's uncle spying on him.
Yeah, wearing the world's loudest combat boots as he's sneaking through his house.
Right, so Laurel runs through Dracula's Castleville and gets all the way to the other place where her uncle is, the paint face, and he shows him a baby, which is the best part was when he goes, "Behold!"
Yes, behold!
Oh my God! He says, "Behold!" I didn't realize.
Yes. Oh my God! Right. I was off my chair. Behold!
Let me bring you into the world's most frightening baby nursery with gothic vaulted ceilings.
Weird, like pitcher plant kind of like bassinet thing that will swallow the child. And
the only thing I'm thinking is finally, Klingon titties pay off from season one.
Jesus.
I blame Weissel for that, for bringing that back up, because I'd forgotten about them until
that's
heard your
true.
New
yeah,
podcast.
Yeah. He definitely has a thing against that. Well, y'all do, but I mean, they did show it in the previously on. They did. I was like, no. We don't need that. Yeah. I feel violated. All right, so
then they go to Ash and Laurel, and she talks about how she became pregnant after his transformation. Yeah, none of this made sense to me either. I'll have to ask you guys, because she couldn't activate him on Discovery while carrying a child. I mean, was that like an ethical thing? I didn't understand why.
She couldn't activate him? Is that what?
Activate, Ash said. To be Vok on the while he was on the Discovery.
I don't understand. And watch that scene when she does activate him. Does she have to do something physically?
Push a little button on his forehead or something. Me.
Boxcar, Winter Soldier. What are you? Yeah, I
gotta hold this down for 10 seconds to reset. 6, 7, 8, 9. I better give it a couple more seconds. You always give it a couple more seconds. All right. And you're clean.
How that happened.
Killer drone.
Right.
But, apparently, you have the option to have your baby just stay in a box. Right. You don't feel like doing it yourself. It's in that drawer over there. That's why it's so small. Okay.
Okay. This is
Klingon just preemies.
Why does it have to be small? It's a full size Klingon baby. Look like now I want to see that.
I know. I mean, let's just
it's about the size of that bassinet.
So yeah. I mean,
when he impregnated her, he was human, or he was still Vok.
See, that's the question I was bringing up before, because I get the feeling that they're going to make this baby out to be like some hybrid hero baby.
Well, that baby looked like a TNG Klingon with just the spine down the head. It didn't have all the crazy stuff.
But he had like the face markings like Vok did, right?
I guess. And he was albino, too.
That guy that kidnapped the baby put the markings on him later, I think.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay.
This is just
That's why I said it needed some color.
But he was albino, right?
This is the biggest nonsensical drop in the entire episode, probably in all of Star Trek ever. I mean, like, more than Cybok. Come on. Like, we've been watching the show for like 19 episodes now, and she's like, I want to show you something. This is your baby that I took out of utero and had it developed, and that's why it's small, and you're the father. And I mean, like, what is going on here?
Crazy albino genes.
Why are we doing this now? Go get the Red Angel, man. That's all we care. Like, you know, go back to that other planet. That planet was cool. That dude, man.
But because of this baby, now he's willing to make it work.
I know.
Really? Yeah. What happened to violation? To love will come.
This.
Well, not only that, but she knows that he contacted Burnham, and she tells him, which she's pissed. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And he's like, he saw the love story before and the things falling from the sky or whatever the hell it was called. He promises her a new love story.
We walked on the cliffs. The sky dripped amethysts. There you go. Really?
It hurts so much. So if this is something become like a 16 and pregnant kind of thing. It's like, well, maybe if I have a baby who'll love me. I mean, it really is. She hides the baby like for how many months?
Maybe I can get Chrissy to watch if it's like a 16 and pregnant thing. She would actually watch the show.
Yeah, maybe. Sarah might like it too.
I know.
Yeah. Like, she said she had never met the baby. I guess it finished gestating in its box and then she's put it in that crazy room. Vulnerability. Over there.
That's what she said. Yeah. It's a vulnerability.
Mm-hmm. It's a vulnerability.
Yeah.
Oh, to have it.
To have the baby, which it turns out to be the case in the end of the episode. But it's so funny because everything they set up pays off like within the episode. It's not down the road somewhere.
Well, I mean, but it's such a...
The same thing with Stamets, too. I thought they were going to play that out for a couple episodes where when she's the captain, she's talking about Stamets. I'm sure there might be something more about that. But
well, we got to get to that Ghostbusters scene anyways, because that is even as bonkers as this. I mean, this is so much... are we there yet? Are we there?
No, the next scene is Burnham and Amanda with the logic extremists that we were talking about.
This
was another ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. But
it may
end up having something to do with the rest of the season because Spock found her via the Red Angel when Burnham was missing and they were going to contact the Vulcan authorities or whatever. And so after that, she did something to Spock to cut off their relationship because she's trying to say it was like a good thing that she did. She was trying to do something good by hurting him, making him leave, and now he'll never forgive her.
So we get Amanda to say, so that's why the four of us could never be together.
Right.
camera. Right. That's why you never heard of her before.
She
you
hurt him irreparably to save him. Yeah.
Yeah. This
and
is
now
not
Amanda really says, I will save him.
Oh, and I heard Klingons have hair. Is that something I need to say it too? Is that okay? I mean, are you all okay, everyone? Can we move forward? Jeez.
Amanda decides to
can actually hear people now too.
Amanda decides to emotionally abuse Spock rather than use logic on Vulcan.
Cool, Amanda,
I mean, not Burnham does.
Well, Amanda does too in some ways by
say
holding
terrible
her love.
Things to you rather than say, "Hey, these logic extremists are trying to kill us, so I'm going to leave." No, that wouldn't work. You're a little jerk. I never liked you.
I know. What did she say? What was the thing she said? I don't even.
Oh, that's what we're going to find out.
You're so human. Ah, yeah. Well, you're human too. I mean,
you're crazy. Yeah. Back to the scary nursery, though.
Yeah, they go to see the baby. But this is the big fight.
This is the big fight.
Uncle hanging.
Right. I don't know if you thought the same thing I did. When I watched this fight, I thought this is the worst. This is worse than the original Star Trek fighting. I honestly think those horrible, stupid fights in the original Star Trek
being
were better than this.
Harsh.
No, they're like in slow mo, but they're barely moving, and like,
yeah.
I feel like they didn't use any stunt doubles. It's like, oh, they had the actors do it, and they weren't very mobile with the costumes and the makeup and everything, and it just was bad.
I mean, they do have pink blood. They do show some pink blood as seen in Star Trek VI, which is like, okay, hey guys, pink blood. You like the pink blood, right? Okay, we're Star Trek. We promise. But I always have a problem when they're outnumbered, because there's like six of these dudes.
Right. There's two of them.
And I mean, like, isn't it just compelling enough if there's like one for one, you know? I mean, as opposed to be like, we're so good at fighting, we can dispatch like six of these guys, you know, they just become cronies, and there's no value to the fight. And it is ridiculous, because it's like a kung fu movie where every guy like waits to take his turn to fight the hero, you know? Mm-hmm. So anyway,
jumped ahead.
What, to the fight?
Yeah,
the fight's coming. Well, Jason jumped to the fight.
Jason,
what are you talking about? It's the next scene. What are we?
This scene is just where we find that the baby's been taken, and
the
Tupac 3D image shows up to say, "Ha ha!"
Yeah. You're correct.
Harboring a spy.
with the red paint spy cam. Is that what this is, or is it another one?
Yes, I mean, that's
when we find out. Yeah, swimming with sensor implants. It's actually a listening device.
Tracking and listening device.
Sensor implants. Okay.
I mean, everything can become a listening machine now. It's it's a nice shirt. It's also a TV and it's a microphone. I mean, you know, what do you want, man? We get everything we want.
But he also is blackmailing them because he knows that Ash talked to Burnham.
Yeah.
Right.
Which
is
kind of like with this controversy we hear with the FaceTime calls this week. This is the worst FaceTime call ever because everybody knows about it. Everybody knows contents. Everybody knows it happened.
Yeah, it's like he did not have it encrypted at all. He's just kind of speaking very loudly, you know. I mean, Laurel was in the other room. The uncle was in the other room next to that room, you know, listening on his special paint. It's actually not special paint. He was just in the other room. Just tell him it's special paint. It's fine. Did you make the special listening paint? Yes, we did. We did. You just have to be really close to your person in order to hear them. Excellent. All right. See that? Like, that's why we didn't have to stop for the scene, because it's not a very good scene. Yeah, all right.
You're the one who did a bit.
The face paint was like the most.
Well, don't stand in judgment on me. If I try to go ahead, don't judge my bits.
You can't gloss over your bit.
If you're going to
just gloss
the train,
over the face paint.
Yeah. Well, all right. But there's no judgment of bits if you're going to stop the train. If you're going to slow it down, you can't judge. All right. That's. Where are we next?
So Tilly and Burnham are meeting. And Burnham is concerned about her, and of course Tilly notices she's been crying, so they need to help each other, and so she finally tells Burnham about May, and then but that May doesn't know about tears. She's saying to her right now she doesn't understand what those things are coming out of her eyes, which turns the light bulb on in Burnham's head, and she's like, wait a minute, show me a teenage girl who doesn't cry. If she doesn't know about tears, it's impossible. Obviously not a actual being.
So many questions about this.
Couldn't it be an alien? There's a million things that it could have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if this mycelial fungus in her can figure out how to like make May look like May,
right?
How does it? I mean, and talk to Tilly and know everything about her. How does it not know about tears, you know?
Yeah. But the best part was when Burnham says, I know, I'm a xenoanthropologist.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I thought to myself, what if she's if she doesn't know what she's talking about and she's just feeding into Tilly's like mental illness right now? You are seeing that, and clearly you're right, Tilly.
Maybe Burnham died like at the Battle of the Binary Star, and yeah. Tilly's just seeing yeah. this character, you know. Oh. Never separated. Right. Okay, so then where do we go?
Laurel and Ash go for the baby exchange.
The dark matter and the spores, though.
All right, so then we have our fight. Is this when we have our fight?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry, I skipped ahead to the fight. Yeah, you're right.
Well, I'm out of bits for that, so
Kim, if you get blood effects.
Well, what about that stun weapon that they had where he holds it and it stuns two people at once out of both ends?
So many goofy things they've got here. But,
and here's my other favorite thing in that scene. The paint face guy goes to Ash's wound, takes the blood, and he's like, I have my ink. And he puts it on Laurel's finger and puts it on an iPad where he doesn't need ink.
Yes.
I have your thumbprint ID now.
I'm going to buy so many apps now.
Here, can you look in the camera just for a second? Double click.
Double click to buy. Okay, all right.
But so, of course, he's about to kill him and takes way too much time, like a Dr. Evil moment of, you know, inexplicably delaying killing him, and the masked singer shows up.
On the count of 40, I will kill you.
She liquefies everybody, too. Just like, boo, boo, liquefied. Yeah. And then...
with the, like the another disc of doom she's got now.
Yes. Oh, but the best is she puts the face paint guy in a bubble.
I know. What is that? Why did she put him in a bubble? What is going on here? It's like a Willy Wonka
Section
thing.
31 shit.
I know. Section 31. Yeah, we can disintegrate and put people in bubbles. So. Right. And then they just stab him. So yeah, I'd be like, I don't quite understand. Like, put him in the bubble so you can stab him.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Just vaporizing is good too. But then it gets the masked singer is revealed.
Yes.
As Empress Giorgio.
Mm-hmm.
To the delight of no one.
This is just such an over-the-top entrance. I was like, all right. Plus, they already revealed it in the previews.
Yeah. I noticed the same thing, too.
Yeah, we all knew it was coming. It was all...
She looked like, the disguise at least, looked just like the bad guy in Aquaman, who I forget his name.
Oh, Black Manta?
But he looked just like Black Manta, yeah, to me, at least.
Yeah, it is kind of, yeah.
Do people love her character? Because it seems like, hey, the fans love this big dramatic entrance where she saves our heroes, but I don't know how I feel about Giorgio, evil Giorgio.
Oh, well, she's not evil Giorgio. She is retired Captain Giorgio.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
All right.
She's lying to everyone.
This whole thing and... You know,
Starfleet security consultant.
I know. It's just, you know. Now we got these Taliban prisoners. What should we do with them? Well, why don't we make them an army colonel and, you know, give them a nuclear submarine? That sounds like a pretty good idea, huh?
What could go wrong?
But are you looking forward to this Giorgio series? You said that there's going to be a series.
Well, that's not a setup, right?
Yeah, it's such a backdoor piloty thing, which they've already announced they're trying to make. Mm-hmm. They're in the process of writing it right now, as far as I know. But it's such a, I mean, they've already got the bridge built and, you know, they've got this other guy here who is like, you know, he's going to do it now, blah, blah, blah. I just.
What?
Well, no, that bald guy next to her who was like, you know, Ash is going to join us. At the very end. Here's the thing is like, I just don't know if Discovery has earned the right to try and spin off a show. You know, I just don't know if they
already.
Yes. I mean, if they found their footing so securely after two good episodes, it's like, oh, well, people want more of this, right?
Yeah. But the sense I got from it is like, this is going to be their like X-Files, where they're just going to run out. They're going to do a little thing every week and come back. It's not going to be an arching storyline like Discovery is.
What? Oh, Section 31?
Yeah, I got that sense from watching this new guy and when she flashes the badge and everything. It's like Men in Black or something.
Men in Black / Section 31 is covert ops. So they're looking at sort of like a Zero Dark 30, I think. I read that was the pitch that kind of sold it. Like, if it was an X-Files, I'd be all on board with that. That sounds cool. This sounds more like, hey, we've got to destabilize this planet. Because Section 31 is the kind of the guys who make the sausage. You don't want to see that.
Right.
Which I don't, you know, again, I don't want to see. I want to believe that the Federation, we've, after 400 years, we've evolved to the point where we don't have these duplicitous people pulling strings behind everyone's back to make stuff happen. It's just, no, everyone's kind of face value of, you know, hey, we're the Federation. What we say is what we're going to do. Not this, this evil organization, which is like, oh, let's destabilize the Klingon Empire in order to get what we want. You know, that's why I watch Star Trek, is to not see that, is to see people like rise above where we're at right now. But someone thinks it's a good idea, so get ready, man.
And I'm still not undecided how I feel about her character. It's just kind of so cartoony.
You're undecided?
Yeah, I'm like, is it cool? Should I just go with the campy over the topness of her character? Showing up with her fidget spinner of death again and kicking ass and beating up Laurel last season. Okay, moving on.
Well, here's what I would say too, though, about that is that she is, I mean, I understand. I mean, there is, and this one certainly was the campiest of the campy episodes. This was so, we're not even to the most bananas part of this episode. We're not even baby heads. I mean, my God. We have bubbles.
We need more spinning camera angles.
We have ghosts. And we don't have baby heads. But I will say this about this is that so far, Giorgio has not suffered at all. Like as a character. So like, why should I care? She's like a superhero or supervillain.
Right.
Who just walks through every scene, lands on her feet, has suffered in no way. So how is she interesting? It's sort of like Agent Coulson in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. when they spun him off. It's like, he's the least interesting character because he's just like, I'm just this dude.
You see
like,
her emotionally suffering. She's crying several times during
this. Who, episode. Empress Georgia?
Evil Georgia?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Burnham.
No, I'm talking about Empress Georgia. I'm dissuading you from liking her.
Yeah.
All right, so where are we going to next out of these 19 scenes?
Well, that scene wasn't quite over because Georgia warns that the Ash and the baby are liabilities and would she be willing to kill them?
Yes.
So, Georgia, I read your mission report, and in the Federation, we generally don't have killing as the first option. But you're learning. It's fine.
So, of course, Laurel like whips out that knife, you know, at her throat, and she's like, "I had to ask." But I guess the setup being before that she's evil and she's done this stuff makes you think, well, maybe she's actually being serious. When the whole time we're kind of like, she's not going to kill her. Her boo and her baby.
I mean, if she was, she would have killed them right off the bat. She would have killed everybody but Laurel and said, hey, these guys are liabilities. I just did you a favor. Goodbye. That would have been far more of an interesting scene, to be honest.
Yeah, well, maybe. Well, I mean, it would set up more war probably, though, somehow, right? Between Starfleet and the Klingons.
Yeah. Giorgio says, I'm not giving you a choice on you have to get rid of Tyler and the baby. Right, she says that when Laurel is holding a knife at her throat. Yeah. Laurel could have just gone,
yeah. Here's my choice. Next.
One more spinning stupid camera angle to the next scene in sick bay with Saru and Tilly.
Yes.
Fungus scene.
It's okay that you flipped out and yelled at the captain on the bridge. You're still on the command training program. He thinks it's funny. Okay.
He's got a sense of humor. And he is fond of you.
But he's not there. That's the thing. It's like, oh, hey, captain, it's okay. She just has a mycelial parasite in her body. You don't need to come down for this, though. That's cool. Whatever you're doing is probably okay. We're going to extract it. Shouldn't be a big thing. We'll let you know how it goes.
So when the Discovery escaped the Terran universe, their spores came down in engineering from that universe and went stuck to her.
So it is
turned into multi-dimensional fungal parasite.
Why are you saying that slowly, Kim? Like you don't understand it. Why?
Like, am I supposed to buy this?
Apparently you have to be a xenoanthropologist to understand.
Well, let me pitch this to you. You just heard about an ex-utero baby sitting in some sort of weird bassinet thing.
That's why it's so small.
Why is it? They were just like gaslighting us for this moment here, where it's like, oh, yeah, this all makes sense. Sure. All right.
I just keep piling it on. Jenga, keep pulling out more logical. Is it still going to stand? Will the story still stand?
Yeah.
leaving the light on.
Oh, dear. So Stamets uses the dark matter to pull the fungus out of Tilly.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
And
I did appreciate that when they pull it out, it grows like, you know,
I know.
Feet. Like, what?
And it's squeaks like, and...
Yeah.
Becomes like Slimer from Ghostbusters.
And I love the lockdown, totally. Too. The lockdown's great because it has this little bubble again.
Oh, it was Slimer without the face and arms.
I know. They just put him in the, like, the containment field. You guys are doing Ghostbusters now, and that's okay. Yes. If
nice.
This weird, gross, like.
Drop it. Oh. Okay. Like I said last week, they've beaten us down so much.
I know. No, we will rage against
this onslaught of nonsense.
I will not accept this. This is, I mean, it was so bonkers. In some ways, it was like, at least it was entertaining all the ridiculous stuff they were doing.
Yes.
So they get that crazy thing out of her. In some ways, it also reminds me a little bit of a Spider-Man with Venom.
Venom, yeah.
Because in the original story, like after the Secret Wars, he got this costume and he's like, oh, great. It can make any sort of shape. But then they found it's alive and it wouldn't like go of him. So there was someone had read the Venom mythology. So
or saw the movie with Tom Hardy this summer.
Well, was it the same, though? I mean, because like this one, like it didn't. Well, it grafted onto to the other guy, though, right? Not to Peter Parker.
No, there's no Peter Parker in the new Venom.
Right, right. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's, yeah.
He doesn't exist in the.
He doesn't exist?
No, not in that universe. Whatever it is, I forget which studio that is. Fox? No, that's not.
It's Sony. It's all Sony.
Yeah, that's Sony. Yeah.
I mean, it,
yeah.
Come on! Yeah. You like Venom. Marvel movies?
I like Tom Hardy.
Well,
oh God.
he was Shinzon.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we're wrapping it up. We're getting close. Where are we at?
Two scenes left, really.
We've got a
wacky camera angle to start the next scene. Wacky camera angle number 400.
Yeah, the one I mentioned that's upside down at the beginning with Laurel addressing the council.
Is someone's fan on? I hear some kind of background.
Oh, right. Yeah, it just started the doctor, pouring right here.
Oh, it's raining. It's
rain. Turn off that rain, doctor.
Kim, turn off the damn rain.
Can you stop eating and turn off the rain?
I said stop eating.
All right.
Go to my underground bunker. And
I require silence.
Angry woman yells at Cloud. Yes, I will put Simpsons references into every podcast.
Yes, please do.
Welcome to Jason Star Wars.
That was in a podcast I heard recently. I was like, okay, good. All right, that still exists. I can still say that. And not my 1930s references, Kim.
They're so folksy.
Well, it seems to me that line.
Fresh fish.
Fresh fish. Fresh fish. All right, so now we come to the best scene of all of Star Trek.
Yes. Yeah.
Where L'Oreal by Maybelline
addresses
L'Oreal addresses all of the other space vampires on the cliffs of doom. The really super easy to
in Mordor.
In Mordor, really easy place to meet whenever you're having a meeting. Oh, we gotta climb these cliffs, and like she's on one side, we're on the other. Oh my god!
Meet me at the gorge above the lava river.
I mean, we could FaceTime. We could. I mean, there would be. We've all got holograms. We just hologram.
It's kind of a slip.
No, I need to show you something. You're gonna really want to see this with your own eyes if you could just climb up the cliff, past the fire and the lava.
I'd like to see what the IT department is like for the Klingons and for Starfleet when they're upgrading their FaceTime to holograms.
Nerd.
Well, how do you see that? Play that out.
Well, I'm just saying. I wonder how they roll out those upgrades. They have the guys come out with the little screwdrivers and they and install the little things so they can have holograms.
Well, you just turn this screw here and it becomes a hologram. We didn't realize that. Just like one more little tightening and boom, hologram. Just comes out of the screen.
Thought there might be like an IT crowd version, a spin-off from Star Trek.
That I would watch.
Yeah.
Star Trek IT I would watch. Because that's interesting. All right, so Laurel, to unite the Klingons, There's it's some sort of bunker story.
The traitor that he talked to the Federation, he betrayed us.
Yes.
Well, she makes her face paint uncle a martyr, right?
Right, right. Yeah, he's the good guy now. She kind of like reverse, like a murder mystery, is it? You know, like, I've discovered who the killer is not, and I will tell you that. It is not
Bob. Severed head of Tyler? Severed head of Tyler Jr.
And,
which looks so ridiculous. Head of a doll.
It's so funny. It's so bad. She's holding this little baby head. Very cleanly cut, by the way. I will give it that whoever cut it, man, sheared that sucker off like nice and flat. You could like put it on your desk, like Valk and like baby head, like, come on in. Hey, this was my husband. This was my baby. What can I do for you?
I can she hold it in her hands with her unbending Gorn fingers.
This was my baby.
I need to name a band. Unbending Gorn fingers.
Yeah, I noticed those fingers again, too. They were just, can we shorten the fingers, too? It was like, well, when we stop having war, we grow our hair and we reduce the size of our fingers so that we actually can articulate with them. Otherwise, we have these crazy flippers that are just like, you know. So.
And as Mike alluded to at the beginning of the podcast, she tells them all to refer to her as mother.
Yes. You are now my children.
You will refer to me. As
Game
mother.
Of Thrones. Misa.
So who is the worst mother in this? Is it Amanda or is it Laurel? I mean, honestly, I mean, because Amanda's pretty terrible as a mom right now, right? I mean, kind of, you know, favors one over the other. And then Laurel, I mean, banishes her son to a monastery. Oh my God. This is
followers of Kalish.
No one will ever know who he is. We'll never see him, and don't ever worry about him again until the last scene of the last episode of season two, and we'll reveal who he is. And it'll be super cool. And Ash, well, you're gonna have to join this other ship. You know, there's a spot for you now that you're dead. Like, oh my God,
you mean on the Section 31 stealth?
On the Section 31 stealth ship. That has like retractable wings and
yeah.
Yes. Why did Tyler have to? Tyler says, "Oh, you synthesized our heads.
Yes.
Neural mapping and genetic codes. So
well, that was just
he could be chucked into the lava.
I know. Yeah. It's like
from these guys standing 50 feet away. Why'd you bother?
We will have to verify. Oh, she threw it in the lava. Okay. All right.
Bring it. Oh.
Hold it up to the iPad to have the FaceTime work. Oh, no, dipshit.
The one iPad of Kronos.
Bring forth the holy iPad of Kronos. We will buy these D7 battle cruisers, but we need to unlock the iPad first, and then we can make the order.
I forgot the code.
Hello, Apple Care. I have thrown the head of the recipient of the iPad into a lava. Is there any way I can recover that password? Ooh, okay, all right.
Lava.
I said lava. I'm so sorry. You have a Klingon representative I could speak to. It's very difficult with my teeth, you see. No, I can't text. I have these really long fingers, you understand. I'm almost useless.
Siri has to translate everything.
Hey, Siri, send a text to Apple Care. Apple Care.
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand.
Oh, open iTunes. Play Malorta.
Repeat.
Okay. All right.
So ridiculous.
Okay. All right. So was that
Alexa
the last
play scene? Well, so then Ash, she tells Ash that she could use Misfits. We woke Siri and Alexa.
Perfect. What did it think you said?
Sorry, I think it started playing music. I said, play Milord Time.
Milord Time.
I wonder what it will play if I say, Alexa, play Milord Time.
I can't play popular songs in Gaelic, but can play the hits in many countries. For example, you can ask me for popular songs in Canada, India, and more.
And on Kronos. So they beam the baby down to her planet, Boreth. Raised as a monk. No visitors, no one leaves. Well, apparently you can visit as long as you don't leave. baby down.
Yeah, it sweeping under the rug as much as they can, this ridiculous plot line, which came out of nowhere and now is going nowhere until they need it.
It's Kal-El, send the baby away. Never see him again.
Yeah, I mean, like, if Ash was so suddenly on board, like, I love you, we're going to make this work, and then now he's like, oh, I'm leaving, goodbye forever. We didn't even have, like, a goodbye scene between him and Laurel. It was just, like, get on the ship. Mm-hmm. Like, so if they're building up this beautiful...
Well, that would kind of ruin the head throwing in the fire thing, because they'd have to reveal that they already planned it out ahead of time. Because the audience is still wondering, okay, how did they do that? Did she really kill them? And then they have to have this stupid expository. Oh, you replicated our heads or synthesized our heads.
And no one cared about that. Like if they would have actually taken some time to have like a tearful goodbye, like we'll never see each other again, you know, that would have been
I actually did care. I mean, I wanted an explanation at least of, so did she actually kill these guys or not? Cause there's no way she killed them. So,
right.
I'm glad they explained it. I guess they did it in a very sort of clunky way.
What? Discovery? A very clunky way of describing things? I don't understand. All right, was that the last scene? Are we done?
It is, except that she wants to bring Ash on board now because she could use some misfits. The freaks are more fun.
Oh, yeah, the freaks are more fun.
Yeah, and then she talks to this guy who's going to be on the spinoff, clearly, and the spinoff is a go.
And
Leland, apparently his name, which Leland. I only know from having the captions on.
Leland Palmer.
His name's Leland.
When you said the freaks are more fun, I shook my head. I literally shook my head. It's like, no, they're not. No, not in Star Trek. Smart people who make smart decisions are much more interesting than freaks who just do random dumb stuff. So, yeah.
I also noticed having the captions on that it says Leland says to her, control, all caps, control, values his skill set, which made me just think of get smart.
That's what I thought too.
Like, control, why is it all caps? Chaos doesn't get him first.
Chief, we've got to use the cone of silence.
That'd be awesome.
I thought about that too. I thought about it so much. I mean, I guess someone said...
I guess I'm not as familiar with all the Section 31 lore.
Isn't Section 31 Section 31? Why is there like another organization controlling Section 31?
Oh,
who I would?
That. I'm joking. You already hate Section 31.
Well, why
there's
layer
even more secret rooms? Yeah, Section 62.
We just double it every time. It's just.
That's it.
That's it.
49 minutes of madness.
Ooh, man. We reached
the 1 hour mark, I believe, right?
Oh, perfect. This is the perfect.
By the way, I have bit the bullet and I actually signed up for CBS All Access. So you both send me $3.33 per month.
I will pay for yes, I will perhaps commiserate with you on that. So because obviously we've also gotten CBS All Access completely legitimately, both Jason and I. So there's no reason to pay you, Kim.
That's right.
Well, I don't know why you're.
I definitely wouldn't still have CBS All Access on two of my devices, even though the account's been canceled. It still works somehow. So I'm still paying for it, though.
That's not through through
watching it on my
phone. Yes, Feral Audio is still working on my iPad Feral. And my Apple TV. Yes.
Feral Audio is no longer working.
I should not admit that, cuz someone will now alert them.
Yeah, they're not listening.
Well, I know. Yeah, they're gone. I mean, they're
Yeah, but the same guys are at Starburns who are working on this podcast.
I know, it's fine. You have the only iPad. You have the Kronos iPad that will play Feral Audio's edition,
and one Apple TV somehow.
make a genetic duplicate of Jason's head and cut it off.
Yet, even though I have an iPad and an Apple TV that have CBS All Access, I still watch it on my computer or my whatever.
I said it because I wanted to watch it on the big TV here.
What's that? It's worth it watching on the big TV. Yeah. It's I mean, you know, you're paying for, you know, the special effects. So you might as well
and
see
it. I'm thinking all my complaining and nitpicking about the show. I would like it to continue. I want the man to continue. I was thinking at the very beginning of this when it was starting to get ridiculous. I'm like, would I want this to be canceled? Do I dislike it that much that I would want to see it canceled? And no, I don't.
Excellent question from Mike. Did you like it that much that you'd like it to see it canceled?
That's interesting. Like if it was last season, yes, I would want it to be canceled because I think it was besmirching kind of the canon.
Beyond saving last season.
Yes, absolutely. There was nothing redeemable about it because all it was doing was steamrolling over everything that I liked about Star Trek and making me feel terrible about it. And then having to pick fights with like 20-year-olds who enjoyed the show on some like visceral level. It's like, yeah, but it's pretty. It's like, oh yeah, I mean,
but
Tilly's
doesn't this
fun.
Episode that we watched today, isn't that the ultimate reminder of what we were watching last season?
Yes, that's
because
why
the last
it scares
two episodes
me.
Were not even close to that.
I mean, if they could, if they keep on going this direction, I don't know, we just might stop talking about it. I mean, there are plenty of other episodes to talk about in Star Trek. We'll just, you know, take our toys and go home. But second season, this is kind of always the watershed for a lot of the series. Only the original series had a great first season.
First season TNG, first two seasons were pretty bad.
Yeah, but this also has the benefit of having a lot more resources, a lot more money, a lot more attention focused on it, and people who have like actually worked on the previous seasons of Star Trek, so they should know how to make this good. And all they're doing is doing everything wrong.
It's like anything by committee. The more opinions, the more muddled it gets.
You mean those 15 executive producers there? And
too many cooks?
Yes.
Who's the one guy who's got the severed baby head index card on the bulletin board? Who's like, I'm pushing for this, you
say,
guys.
Who kept the prop just sitting on his desk?
Oh, sure, one of them did.
I would keep that for sure. I'd be like, yes, this is mine.
Should auction it off like they do with Survivor mementos.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good idea. I'd buy that. I would go all in on that. That's the one thing I want out of the show is that baby's head. I just want that. And I want to caress it with my ultra long fingers. And just all in on that.
I want a cool black badge. Oh, black badges. Never seen one.
No, I don't want that either because what it represents is bad. It's bad. I hate Section 31.
That's Section 15 and a half.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
You're cool with that.
Now, where'd you go? You left.
I'm right here. I can hear you.
I'm seeing a ghost. She's there and then she's not.
You hear me.
All right. In next week, we are going to see that ghost again. That mycelial ghost is going to come back in some capacity and run around.
Well,
so.
we had a couple comments on the YouTube page that I should mention real quick.
Oh, yeah. Let's go to the YouTube. And we can also read.
Yeah, because I was looking on Facebook. YouTube. Nobody's left us anything on Facebook. But this says, it's fun listening to you guys. It's ridiculously fun watching you have fun. Rock on, my Trekkies.
Oh, no.
That is from Johannes.
Oh, Johannes, Kowski. Yeah.
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 Yay.
Didn't like that guy.
And Grome Rancer has left us a bunch of emojis. Leftover plot spores from last season. Mock talk, lock, chuck, frock talk, lop, rock.
Down a fraggle rock.
Yeah. And then I believe it's your mom, Mike, has given us a smiley face. She's listening. Hi, Leslie.
Aww. Oh, thanks, Mom.
We will call you Mother.
Please don't cut off my head and throw it into lava, if you don't mind. Let's not unify the...
My dedication to Star Trek. Why is your mom talk like a Klingon?
Unified all of Chico, California by cutting off her son's head and throwing it into a lava pit. Didn't know there was lava in Chico, but I guess it's okay.
Chico built on an active volcano. Active!
Drive around her D7 minivan now, yeah.
D7.
If they could describe why D1 through 6 didn't work, I'd be okay with that. But instead, it's just like the D7.
Were you excited to see the old style Klingon battle cruiser?
A little bit.
Or you're still too aha. So I'm you don't want to see a cancel.
Aha.
little bits here and there that kind of give you hope.
Now here's, I'm going to read some of the Facebook pages when I asked what people thought of the episode. Jack Hoskins says, I was into it. Obviously not as much of a standalone as the first two episodes of the season, but all three plot lines were compelling. Jack, we need to talk. All right. I'm just going to stop right there. I'm going to intervene. Now, Ken enjoys it too. Ken Stonmez.
Ken.
I'm very pleased they continued responding to criticisms of the first season. Yes. Also, the Klingon political intrigue was good, clean fun. I'm also glad Tilly isn't crazy now. The Spore Ghost managed to stay on the right side of the funny annoying. So maybe we're wrong because all the well, fans.
Some of that Klingon stuff I did kind of enjoy, even though it was so over the top. That's what I liked about it. Well, like we love Gowron with his crazy bulging eyes and your blood will paint the way to the future kind of rhetoric.
So, yeah.
So behold the child of
Morel.
I was like laughing at some points in time because it was so over the top. There were so many things. Like at least it wasn't drudgery. At least everyone wasn't taking it so seriously. Yeah. And we've got baby heads and we've got, you know, goofy face paint. And it is comic booky fun. Zach says, I think they're trying to meet the old fans halfway with the new Klingons.
Yeah.
I was more interested in Tilly's dark matter ghost, though. I don't know. Definitely a drop off from the first two episodes, but I'm still into it. For the three of you, we will still keep on watching this. And for the rest of you listening, we will still keep on watching it.
I agree with some of their comments. Like, I enjoyed the scene where Tilly's freaking out on the bridge.
But why didn't she say something? That's like, it's those logic
gaps.
Because
she doesn't
want
to get kicked out.
All right, so she's been seeing this thing like for days and weeks, and you don't think to report it. You've been to a mirror universe. You have giant tardigrades, and it's like, this must be in my head. No!
Well, that wasn't her possibly being unsuitable for command training.
But if she, you're fighting for Tilly, and it's a losing battle because not going to sway me on Tilly.
I'm just saying this is probably her.
I thought maybe she might just be over caffeinated because she's always talking about caffeine. So maybe that was causing her to have visions.
We just go to that well one more time. That'd be okay. I still think that she's that girl from The Runaways, Short Trek. I mean, it's like, I'm like, who? Because they both had those interesting accents I can't identify. And
right. But the one was a shapeshifter with, like, Dayglo blood.
Oh, did she? Oh, that's true. Yeah, she had, like, that purplish blood or something. Yeah.
And she looked her, she had a weird kind of face, too. She had either face paint or wrinkles somewhere, like a Klingon almost.
All right. All right, that's enough. I can't take any more of this.
Yes.
But you're looking forward to next week because you can't help yourself.
Well, also, I have to do reviews with Kiernan on three episodes of Orville.
Oh, yeah.
One, which was shot at Cal State Northridge, my alma mater.
Oh. The most recent one?
Yeah, the one last week where they got... Which the first half was really good. First contact kind of thing was so cool. Yes. They were so excited. And then it just kind of went off the rails with this whole
astrological sign thing.
Start dumping these off into different podcasts and flooding the market like those jackasses at Trek and Finn.
You know, we should. Although we do have...
have a next-gen podcast.
We do have Game of Thrones coming up as well. So we do have Hodor cast coming.
Hodor cast.
Yeah.
There's only six more left.
I know. And then Kim and I have the Expanse podcast someday.
Yes.
Our Three Stooges podcast.
Yes, our Three Stooges
podcast. Three Stooges podcast.
I actually enjoyed that episode a lot more than I thought I did. but only because of all the inconsistencies and anachronisms and stuff that exist in it. It's like not the humor didn't
get me.
Why
can't you extend that same grace to... Star Trek Discovery.
Because they spent $10 million
this year.
Yes.
Not 1945.
Not 1945 for $200 in like some like weird pond somewhere. This is made for $10 million and they're not using me. So
that's the root of it all.
It's always the root of it all, Kim.
Me.
Why aren't you guys talking about me more? The mycelial network.
Oh. The mycelial?
Mycelial.
The mycelial network.
Jeez.
Oh, all right, and with that, we need to get... We gotta call Tony, by the way. Friend of the pod,
oh,
Tony.
Yeah, yeah. Oh.
Birthday party show. Well, thank you very much so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching the episode. And check us out on our Facebook page. Leave us an iTunes review. Check out this live broadcast we did. We'll try and do this every once in a while. But until then, I'm Mike McCaffrey.
I'm Tim Miller.
I'm Jesse Lucas.
I just want to talk about Star Trek!
Distract sequence completed and engaged.
Don't you understand?
When the train comes in, everybody rides.
Your daddy can put them up, can he?
Strike minutes. Flame the dark troops. Salt.
Big Chief Legacy.
Way late complete. Way late.
I meant to say that it should be all new.